ye, hear ye. That is a rather archaic phrase that used to be well used in days gone by as a kind of pronouncement before a special announcement. Hear ye, hear ye. A town crier would go through town screaming at the top of his lungs, trying to get people's attention. Perhaps a more modern day version might be, now listen up. Or, now hear this. Or, read my lips. Well, some 2,700 years ago, the prophet Micah used his own form of hear ye, three times in his short book. Micah chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O peoples, all of you, listen, O earth, and all who are in it. Over to chapter 3, verse 1. Then I said, listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel. And again, in chapter 6, verse 1, listen to what the Lord says. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. And that very nicely divides the book of Micah into three major sections. Wonderful preachers and pastors. Three times the prophet made a point of saying, listen up. Three times Micah spoke about judgment that was surely about to come. But then three times he also ended with words of hope, proclaiming the good news that better days are yet to come. So as I already pointed out, this first hear ye, or listen up, can be found in chapter 1, verse 2. And the first half of chapter 1 really sets the stage, or kind of forms the backdrop for the rest of this great little book. Micah chapter 1, verse 2, hear, O peoples, all of you, listen, O earth, and all who are in it, that the sovereign Lord may witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. Look, the Lord is coming from his dwelling place. He comes down and treads the high places of the earth. The mountains melt beneath him and the valleys split apart, like wax before the fire, like water rushing down a slope. All this is because of Jacob's transgression, because of the sins of the house of Israel. What is Jacob's transgression? Is it not Samaria? What is Judah's high place? Is it not Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of rubble, a place for planting vineyards. I will pour her stones into the valley and lay bare her foundations. All her idols will be broken to pieces. All her temple gifts will be burned with fire. I will destroy all her images, since she gathered her gifts from the wages of prostitutes. As the wages of prostitutes, they will be used again. In the first half of this chapter, a call is going out to everyone to hear God's accusations against his covenant people. It is kind of like a cosmic law court. Micah asked all the peoples of the earth to essentially serve on a jury. He calls them for jury duty, to hear God testify as an expert witness about the sins of his people. It's kind of like God is bringing a lawsuit against his covenant people. And the implication is that once all of the evidence has been presented, absolutely everyone would agree that God's judgment against his chosen people was just. Well, the second half of chapter 1 is really a lament over the fate of the southern kingdom of Judah And this woeful lament is presented as a series of puns or word plays using the names of several cities that the king of Assyria defeated on his journey to Jerusalem in 701 BC. Now, these puns, these word plays, they're not really something to laugh about. Micah was being very serious when he penned these words. He was talking about the horrors that were about to come to his home territory. But unfortunately, it is very difficult to translate a pun or a wordplay from one language into another language. Often the translation does not make much sense. The punchline gets lost in translation. But if you're using the blue Bible in the pew rack in front of you, you will see several footnotes at the bottom that helps to explain at least a little bit of what is going on here. For example, the footnote for Micah chapter 1 verse 10 says that Gath sounds like the Hebrew word for tell. And so Micah is saying, tell it not in tell. At least that's what it might kind of sound like in Hebrew, a wordplay. Footnote C says, Beth Ophrah means house of dust, which is why Moffat's translation reads, grovel in the dust at Dust Town, house of dust. In verse 11, the footnote says that Shafir means pleasant. Well, the people of Shafir would not look very pleasant as they were being hauled away naked as prisoners of war. The next city, Za'an, sounds like the Hebrew word for come out. And ironically, the citizens of come out city would not be able to come out after all. And so it goes through the rest of the chapter. The point that Micah is trying to make is that just as surely as the northern kingdom of Israel fell because of their many sins, so also the southern kingdom of Judah is about to fall because of their foolish disobedience as well. And this theme of coming judgment continues into Micah chapter 2. The first five verses condemn those who wickedly devise plans to steal fields and houses from others. The next six verses are addressed to false prophets who practice deception and only say what the people want them to say, not what the Lord wants them to say. And Lord willing, we will unpack some of those verses in more detail in weeks to come. But in Micah chapter 2, verse 12, a major shift takes place, as it does at the end of each of the three major sections in the book of Micah. After saying, hear ye, or listen up, three times, and then warning of judgment that was about to come, three times Micah abruptly shifts gears and delivers strong messages of hope and coming restoration. So Micah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. What a promise. And that word, remnant, is a very important word in the book of Micah. It appears five times in these seven chapters. The first occurrence is here in Micah chapter 2. Where he refers to a remnant. The second occurrence is in Micah chapter 4, verse 7. I will make the lame a remnant, those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. And then right after accurately predicting that the birthplace of the Messiah would be Bethlehem, in Micah chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, the remnant of Jacob will be in the midst of many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers in the grass, which do not wait for man or linger for mankind. The remnant of Jacob will be among the nations in the midst of many peoples. And then right near the end of his book, using a word play on his own name, Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Now, this concept of a remnant was very important to Micah. And it was also very important to the other prophets of God. In fact, 5 of the 12 so-called minor prophets use this terminology. And 3 of the 4 so-called major prophets also refer to a remnant. The idea of a remnant is a big deal in the Bible. The Expositor's Bible commentary puts it this way, and I quote, Micah's doctrine of the remnant is unique among the prophets and is perhaps his most significant contribution to the prophetic theology of hope. The remnant is a force in the world, not simply a residue of people, as the word remnant may seem to imply. It is a force that will ultimately conquer the world. This triumph, while presented in apparently militaristic terminology, is actually accomplished by other than physical force. By removing everything that robs his people of complete trust in him, the ruler from Bethlehem will effect the deliverance of his people. The source of power for God's people in the world is their absolute trust in him and his resources. We may state this aspect of Micah's theology thus: the nation will suffer the shame of defeat and exile, but that is not the end. For certain triumph and glory lay ahead. Not for the whole nation, but for the remnant. The people of God will be delivered from affliction and exile by their king and will return with him secure in his power. End of quote. That is exciting. Micah is warning the people that judgment is coming. Some horrible, no good, very bad days are just around the corner. But that is not the end. That is not all there is. That is not all they have to look forward to. And my friends, I believe that Micah's message for the people of Judah is also a message for us today. Judgment is coming. You can count on it. God's laws have been broken. God's commandments have been disregarded and set aside. And God will not just kind of look the other way and pretend as if nothing has happened. Oh no. The scriptures are being flagrantly ignored. Judgment is coming. And things are going to get worse before they get better. But they will get better. And that is the message I believe the Lord has for us this morning. Eventually, things will get better. Now, isn't that a great picture and PowerPoint slide that Alex Christian designed for us this morning? Sailboat, calm waters, heading for a rainbow. Eventually, things will get better. Not for everyone, but certainly for those who are part of God's remnant, for those who are truly committed to God and who are fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Are you part of this remnant? I sure hope so. And if you're not part of God's remnant, or you're not sure that you are part of God's remnant, then I encourage you at the conclusion of the service to come to the front. Our prayer teams are here, and they would be thrilled to explain to you the way of salvation, how you can come to a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son. How you can know that you're part of that remnant, that you will be counted among the faithful when our Lord Jesus returns. I was so excited as I was preparing the sermon this morning. Those who are part of God's remnant have so much to look forward to. It might not seem like that right now. Some of you are going through some really horrible, no good, very bad things right now. And with all of the catastrophes around the world that we keep hearing about, lots of people who are no doubt waking up in despair and hopelessness. But my friends, no matter what we are facing right now, and no matter if things get worse than they are right now, eventually things will get better. We looked at Micah chapter 7, verse 18, just moments ago. But I also want us to look at the next two verses. This is how Micah concludes his book. And this is how I will conclude today's sermon. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our fathers in days long ago. Thank God that we can be part of the remnant that He will bless abundantly for all eternity.